Vegas Nation Podcast is powered by our friends Sam and Ash Injury Law. Give them a call at 702-820-1234 or visit samandash.com because you deserve what's right.
Ash, what about those insurance ads with catchy jingles?
And the lawyer commercials.
The jingles might get stuck in your head, but they're designed to do one thing, distract you.
Distract you from hiring the right professional team to represent you.
Choose reputation over shtick.
Sam and I are real personal injury attorneys who focus on you and your recovery.
Call us anytime, 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Monday, which means it's time for First and 10 with your hosts, Vinny Bonsignor and Sam Gordon.
What is going on, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for all Raider news, analysis, and today, maybe a little bit of griping or a little bit of head-scratching. The Raiders lost Sunday to the New England Patriots 36-20 in Foxborough, Massachusetts. It was a disappointing loss. It was a frustrating loss. The Raiders shot themselves in the foot continually. It's one of those games where statistically they matched up fairly well, especially offensively, but you can't have the turnovers that they had. You can't have the penalties that they had. You can't have the sloppy play they had. Before we get into it all, and before I bring on my partner and teammate, Sam Gordon, also from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, just want to let you know that we're brought to you by Sam and Ash and presented by Visa, Indeed, and Flavor Shot. Well, Sam Gordon, not a pretty day for the Las Vegas Raiders in Foxborough, Massachusetts on Sunday. And a lot of the frustration is the fact that they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. Three turnovers, six big penalties, a failure to cover the run, just some nagging bad habits that plagued them last year and in years past. It looked like they kind of got past them the first two games of the season, but they reared their ugly heads in a big way on Sunday against the Patriots.
Yeah, they did, Vinny, and you nailed it there. You know what the New England Patriots are going to do. You know who they have in terms of personnel. You know who they have on the sidelines with Coach Bill Belichick. And the Raiders, for all that they accomplished the first 2 weeks, taking care of the ball, clean game in terms of penalties, converting third downs, they didn't do any of that on Sunday. They didn't do any of that at all. And for the most part, New England did do that, and that's where I thought the difference was. The Raiders moved the ball. They had no problem moving the ball. They had drives. They got drives going, and then they would turn it over. Then a penalty would make a third and long. New England was pretty outside of an interception, a rare interception from Cam Newton. That was just a really stupid decision that he made, a really bad throw. New England was New England. They only commit two penalties on the day, and they only have the one turnover. So that's where the game, to me, was lost for the Raiders. They made mistakes that they weren't making in the first couple games. And against a team like New England that you know is going to play a clean game, you don't have that kind of margin for error, not right now.
And what made it doubly frustrating was that those errors happened when the game was still very much a game. I go back to the Josh Jacobs fumbles the ball at the 12-yard line. The Raiders are heading in for either a touchdown or at least a field goal. He fumbles on at the 12-yard line, coughs the ball up to the Patriots. On the very next drive, I think it was right after an interception by the Raiders, they get a first down on a pass to set up first and goal to go at the 3-yard line. But no, Denzel Good was called for illegally being downfield, alignment downfield. So that backed it up to another third down. They can't convert. They got to kick a field goal instead. It's 3-0 rather than 7-0. Daniel Carlson misses a field goal. Derek Carr drops the ball, fumbles the ball, giving the ball back to the Patriots. It was just a bunch of dumb errors and costly mistakes that did the Raiders in. You want to talk statistically? The Raiders had 22 first downs. The Patriots had 25. You talk about the Raiders' lack of efficiency on third down at 3-9. The Patriots were even worse at 3-11. Here's where it turns. Total plays, the Patriots had 68, the Raiders had 56. Total yards, 406 and 375. That's not terrible. But you go down to those penalties. Oh, look at this. Yards per play. Hello. The Patriots had more yards per play, 6.7 to 6.0. Where, again, it turned 250 yards rushing that the Raiders give up. They ran for 126. Not a terrible day, but it's an awful day trying to stop the run. 38 carries for the Patriots, 250 yards. Then the penalties, 6 for 40 yards, 2 for 33, like you mentioned, for New England, and 3 fumbles lost for the Raiders. That can't happen. The Patriots had the ball about 9 more minutes than the Raiders, 34 minutes to 34, 39 to 25, 21. So it's that those turnovers are the killers. The 3 turnovers and the missed field goal by Daniel Carlson, that's all she wrote.
Yeah, that is all she wrote. Missed opportunities, poor execution, like you talked about, missed tackles, things of that nature. New England doesn't do that, not very often, and they didn't on Sunday. And it felt like, Vinny, and you were there, you were at the stadium. It felt like watching it on TV that once the Patriots figured out that they could run the ball, they just that all bets were off, that they were just going to go to the run. They'd asked very little from Cam Newton. He played with the lead and was able to make very, very safe, conservative throws most of the game. He didn't have to go out and throw for 400 yards. It just felt like they figured it out. Look, the Raiders can't stop the run. We're going to run the ball. And that's what they did. So once that happened, it felt to me like it started to snowball. And, you know, the Raiders defense, like you mentioned, there was a nine-minute difference in time of possession, and the Raiders defense got a little gassed, and the Patriots, frankly, exposed their run defense, more or less.
Yeah, and the run defense was atrocious. You're looking at Sonny Michel with 117 yards, Rex Burkhead, 49 yards rushing, J.J. Taylor, 43 yards rushing. Rex's was on 8.2 yards per pop. Michel was on 13 yards per carry, including a long, of 48. And what was so disturbing about the Raiders' run defense was it was obvious that guys were out of position either by blown assignment or just getting swallowed up in run blocking. But more than that, it was just lack of or just bad play. You know, the Raiders' run fits have been terrible this year. And it's hard to put a finger on why that is, but for whatever reason, they're not on the same page. There's gaps that were wide open interiorly on the outside. The Patriots got to the edge far too often and far too easily. And then when guys were in position, too many missed tackles, and they also took themselves out of position by over-pursuing or taking bad angles. So somehow, some way, the Raiders have got to get their run game defense fixed. It's going to help to get Nick Kwiatkowski back, but one guy shouldn't mean the kind of breakdowns that the Raiders saw today.
It's not like the Patriots were doing anything super unpredictable or super creative. And I thought, for the most part, like, they played their hand. We're going to run the ball until you stop us, and the Raiders didn't stop them. Right. And it's that simple. Like, it was power football. And on Sunday, I know it sounds a little cliche, but on Sunday, New England was more physical. They were faster at the point of attack, and they were the aggressors. They punched the Raiders in the mouth with their running game, and the Raiders never at any point punched back. They didn't adjust. You had Patriots receivers cracking down on Raiders linebackers and Raiders defensive ends. There was no type of adjustment. There was never any changes made. It was just, we're going to give up. We're cool giving up 5, 6, 7 yards a pop. That's what it looked like, because that's what the Patriots were getting all afternoon.
Yeah, and conversely, offensively, I thought the Raiders actually did some really good things. They were moving the ball. It was a lot like last year in some passages of last year, where they were able to move the ball, but again, they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. And as John Gruden said, you can't do that against the Patriots. You can't do that against anybody in the NFL and expect to win. You just can't. First of all, you can't turn the ball over 3 times. One, right at the foot of the, inside the red zone for the Patriots, 12 yard line, one that should have been a safety or looked like it was going to be a safety, but then they overturned it, and lo and behold, the Patriots get a touchdown out of there. You can't turn the ball over at the other team's end zone. You just can't, or your own end zone. You just can't do that. And then the other one where Carr, it was still a game. Carr jumps back to pass. It looked like he was cocking back to throw, but he was never able to get the arm moving forward. Ball gets swiped away. Another fumble. It's just those errors. And again, they did a really good job of avoiding all that on the first 2 weeks of the season. I wrote about it. I wrote about how efficient the Raiders were. But all that just came to a screeching halt on Sunday in New England.
Yeah. And to me, Vinny, those mistakes and given the outcome of the game that it frankly, wasn't. You never sensed that the Patriots always felt like they were in control of the game, at least especially in the second half. You never felt like the Raiders, they come close, but it never felt like, oh, okay, this is going to be a game. And because of those mistakes, it really kind of negates some of the things that I thought they did pretty well, right? Like they pressured Cam Newton a little bit. They had struggled to pressure the passer in the first couple of weeks, has struggled to get sacks, and Max Crosby has a huge day with two sacks. And they made Cam Newton uncomfortable, and that's a positive. That's definitely a positive because they hadn't made the quarterbacks in the first 2 weeks uncomfortable at all. But it all for naught because of those mistakes. And one thing I wanted to get to, and you were there because you had the view from the press box where you could see the way the game played out, the whole field. I just had the TV broadcast. New England, to their credit, and it was not necessarily a big surprise per se, but they neutralized Darren Waller. They took him out of the game completely. That's what Bill Belichick is known for. Your best player, we're going to neutralize him. We're going to take him away. And that's precisely what they did to Darren Waller. And he finishes with two catches for 9 yards, both in garbage time after having a 100-yard outing in which the Saints couldn't stop him.
Yeah, that did happen. There's no question that did happen. But nevertheless, the Raiders were still able to move the ball because they have other players to go to. Now, granted, that list of other players to go to is starting to dwindle. Henry Ruggs wasn't able to play. I think he would have made a difference. And if you're going to take away, this is the thing. This is why that loss of Henry Ruggs was so such a big loss in a game like this. If you're going to do that to Darren Waller, Henry Ruggs would say, thank you very much, because that just opens up things for him. But when you don't have that guy to be able to do that, obviously you can't take advantage. So that was a loss, obviously, for the Raiders. Also, then, Bryan Edwards gets dinged up. So, that was that became a factor because he was in and out from that point on after getting hurt, some kind of a leg injury. So you're down, two starting offensive linemen plus a key backup in Sam Young. A lot of injuries piling up. But I will say this, even if they did take Darren Waller away, the Raiders played well enough offensively. If you take away those turnovers, obviously you can't. But if you did take away those turnovers, it's still a different game, even with Darren Waller getting taken out. Credit the Patriots for identifying the guy that they wanted to just remove from the game. They did. But still, what I'm looking at more than anything are just the turnovers. And I'll say this, the Raiders actually kind of left the stadium while they were frustrated and disappointed, obviously, with losing. There was actually a glimmer of hope because in the general consensus was, look, if we just didn't do anything, if we just got our you-know-whats kicked all over the field, that's a whole other issue. Then we were looking at the film. Then we're wondering, what the heck's going on? What do we got to do? Can we do it? But when you look at fixable issues like unforced errors, the kind that the Raiders committed on Sunday, it does give you a little bit of hope that, hey, if we just avoid that, things would be completely different. So the there's no obviously moral victories, and you don't want to put a silver lining on how sloppy the Raiders played. But if you don't play sloppy, the talent is there to be able to compete.
You got hurt in an accident. Now you need the right lawyer to help you.
Don't hire a do-nothing, no-call, no-show lawyer.
We are Sam and Ash, and we are different.
We've recovered over $400 million for our clients, and we promise to always call you back the same day.
While no one can guarantee an outcome in your case, we have the experience to get you the results that you deserve.
So call us at 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us in our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help and support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. 3 million! Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/podcast. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30.
There's definitely the offense has definitely improved. Again, aside from the turnovers, I thought Derek Carr made some really good throws. There was that throw before the half where he finds Hunter Renfro down the right sideline that sets up points, that sets up a play action touchdown pass to Foster Moreau. That was a sensational play, and that was a sensational catch. He was very decisive. He was very in command. I thought he didn't make any precarious throws. We know about the fumbles, but I don't think he made any precarious questionable throws. He got rid of the ball when he needed to. This is the NFL. These are the New England Patriots. Losses happen. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And like you said, you take the positives away from this. You look at the negatives. It's all very cliche again, but you move on because you got a really good Buffalo Bills, undefeated Buffalo Bills football team coming into Las Vegas next week. And they're going to want to keep that momentum rolling. That's another big opportunity for the Raiders to make, you know, a statement.
Yeah, no question about it. The Buffalo Bills beat the Los Angeles Rams somehow, some way. They figured out a way to stem the tide just long enough. They were up big in that game, and the Rams came roaring back. And it took, you know, last minute touchdown by the by the Bills to pull it out. But that's a really good Rams team, and the Bills are a very good team. Big, physical, tough. Lots of weapons, good young quarterback, a defense that up until the Rams started making their run, were pretty much shutting down a really good Rams team. So that's why, again, you go back to the unforced errors and taking advantage. These are the games that, as Max Crosby alluded to, this is a winnable game. That's what makes it so frustrating. Again, you know, you don't want to be in dire straits where you're just getting, you know, your butt kicked up and down the field. That's lets you know that you're years away and there's all kinds of roster issues that you got to field. This wasn't one of those type of games. Although I have to say, and we'll get back to it now, the run defense, that's a concern. That's a really big concern because that's a fundamental part of football. And it's one thing to get physically whipped. In some cases, the Raiders were. In some cases, they were. But it's another thing when, you know, you're just whiffing on tackles, you're in or not being in position, or just taking sloppy, angles and over pursuing. That's just fundamentals, and that's just what's going on. Are they being coached up? Are they not figuring out what's going on? Now, I know that there were 7 new starters, a bunch of young players that were playing that are playing on defense. So you expected a learning curve, but 3 games in, you're not expecting too much by saying, hey, you should at least know where to be on your run fits.
Amid the 2-1 start, Vinny, the defense has not been great. I'll say that. It was opportunistic in week 1, in week 2. It was not opportunistic in week 3. And as opportunistic as it was at times in week 1 and week 2, coming up with key plays, Carolina moved the ball both through the air and on the ground, and so did the Saints. And again, New England today didn't even have to pass. Cam Newton did not look great. He did not play super well. And it did not matter because the book is out now. You can run the ball against this Raiders team, and Buffalo can run the ball. Buffalo with Devin Singletary and with Josh Allen. You think you had to worry about a dual threat quarterback this week, and they did with the New England Patriots. You got to worry about a dual threat quarterback and an explosive offense next week too with the Buffalo Bills. So it doesn't the challenges for this defense do not stop. They're going to continue to come, and it's on the Raiders to make some corrections and to execute a little bit better and to have better game plans in place in order to slow some of these offenses down, because they haven't really done that too much the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and we'll see if Nick Kwiatkowski comes back. He is the quarterback of the defense, and he is their primary run stopper, and he gets guys aligned, gets guys adjusted. I do believe that that will help. Him being in there, but it's too far into the season. I know it's just three games, but it's too far into the season to kind of get whipped mentally like that, like the Raiders were. And so we'll have to see where that goes. You got a big physical Buffalo Bills team coming in that frankly is better than the New England Patriots. A tough challenge, a big challenge facing the Raiders. But you know what? You knew that there was going to be some adversity somewhere along the line. Here it is. The Raiders have to rebound. The Raiders have to clean things up. They have to regroup. I liked where the Raiders were mentally, especially offensively after the game. But I think defensively, they got to get it together, and they got to figure it out. They got to get into the classroom. Paul Guenther, their defensive coordinator, needs to come up with some answers, and he needs to get his guys in the right place at the right time. And then those players need to make the play when the play is in front of them to make.
Yeah, Vinny, I totally agree with you. Just going into week four, what do you think about that Buffalo Bills offense presents the greatest challenges to the Raiders? Is it Josh Allen's big play ability, dual threat ability? Is it Stephon Diggs in that passing game? Just where do you see? I mean, it's a tall task. What do you think this matchup is going to look like?
Well, I think offensively they'll be able to move the ball. I think, you know, I've felt pretty good about the Raiders offense throughout. They just need to stay away from the turnovers and the stupid penalties. Defensively, I got to see it, man. We know what the issue is. They couldn't stop the run. And I thought they did a pretty good job, like you said, getting some pressure on Josh Jacobs on Cam Newton. I think they'll be able to do the same against Buffalo as opposed to Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater, the two quarterbacks that they faced last week and what they'll face next week. They're not the guys that get the ball out super quick, lightning quick. So they give you an opportunity to get after them. The key is you got to take them down when you do. They did that with Cam a couple of days today. Good on Max Crosby for doing that. But they just have to play a better game defensively. They have to give themselves a chance, and then they just can't afford the dumb mistakes that they've committed on Monday.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. Buffalo, for as good as they've played, they showed some real vulnerabilities against the Rams in that game. The Rams scored, I think it was 28 unanswered points or something like that. That defense. And you know, we all thought Buffalo's defense was going to be its calling card, right? We didn't expect Josh Allen to turn into the second coming of Joe Montana, leading comebacks and leading long touchdown drives and things like that. He was kind of the question mark last year as the Bills made the playoffs. He had his struggles, but it appears that he's taken that leap. But the defense, again, looks vulnerable. And depending on the health of Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards and guys like that, there may be some room to take a few chances to get the ball downfield and to get some big plays against that Buffalo D.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, whatever happens, we're going to be here next Monday to talk all about it. The Raiders definitely need a win. I think if they could get to 3-1 going to play the Kansas City Chiefs, they'll like that position. You don't want to be 2-2 going to Kansas City and then, you know, with the possibility of coming back home 2-3, that's just not a good start. That's not where they want to be. And to make sure that that doesn't happen, they got to win on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. But we'll be here to talk about it. Just want to thank you guys for being part of the show today and listening. For Sam Horton, my co-host, and Larry Muir, our great producer who's working overtime to make all this happen. Really appreciate it. Don't forget to go to Vegas Nation and download the app. Don't forget to read everything that we're doing and watch all of our videos and download all of our podcasts. You can get all of that at VegasNation.com. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And Sam, I will see you next week, man.
All right. Sounds good, Vinny. Another home game for the Las Vegas Raiders at Allegiant Stadium.
If you've been injured in an accident, you need the right team on your side.
Ashley is a former insurance defense attorney who knows the insurance industry's playbook.
And Sam is an experienced high-stakes negotiator for accident victims and their families.
At Sam and Ash, our sole focus is on you, your recovery, and getting you the best possible settlement in the least amount of time.
Call us day or night at 702-820-1234 or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.